Hello, and welcome to your regularly scheduled podcast, in which we look at a decade in American history and how it contributed to the current state of the country's superpower. This week, we are looking at the turn of the century, the 2000s.
The 2000s was the decade that transformed the sentiment of the American people regarding foreign affairs and certainly tested the determination and optimism of the entire country. The beginning of the 21st century was paved with American greatness. At the 2000 Sydney Olympics, the United States won 93 medals, 37 of them gold, allowing the U.S. to come in first place for the most medals won.
A dramatic turn occurred during the 2000 presidential election between George W. Bush and Al Gore. On November 8th, it was announced that Bush had won Florida by an incredibly narrow margin of half a percentage of all the votes cast in Florida. CNN declared at 2:18 a.m. Eastern Time that
George Walker Bush has won Florida's 25 electoral votes.
The chairman of the Gore campaign, Bill Daley, declared less than 2 hours later at 4:07 a.m. Eastern Time.
But this race is simply too close to call. And until the recount is concluded and the results of Florida become official, our campaign continues.
On November 10th, after a recount, the margin between votes for the two candidates had decreased by over 700 votes. Democrats became suspicious of Bush's possible manipulation of Florida's electoral votes, especially since Bush's brother was the governor of the state at that time. The case went all the way to the Supreme Court, who declared on December 12, 2000, that Bush won Florida's 25 electoral votes. This caused Bush to win the presidential election with 271 electoral votes, only one more than the required 270 to win the Electoral College. We are now going to choose one lucky caller to ask a question about this topic.
Hi, I was wondering why you guys aren't talking about the Bush push. It seems like it's kind of a biased and one-sided argument.
I'm sorry, we're talking about President George W. Bush here.
Yes, I know. I just want to know your thoughts on the Bush push. It's something you guys seem to be avoiding.
The Bush push has no relation to George W. Bush. It's a reference to Reggie Bush illegally pushing his USC teammate into the end zone when they were playing against Notre Dame. As entertaining as it was with 30 million viewers, it has no relevance to the topic we're currently discussing.
Oh, what?
Anyway, Bush's greatest challenge of his presidency occurred on September 11th, 2001, when members of the terrorist group Al-Qaeda crashed planes into the infamous Twin Towers in the Pentagon. The somber occasion gave Bush the great purpose of his presidency, which was the fight against terrorism. The term war on terrorism, which is still used today by the current president, was first coined in Bush's speech that night.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
During this time of unification of the country, Bush's approval ratings soared. A whopping 90% of Americans approved the way that Bush was handling the presidency. In order to continue his fight against terrorism, Bush sent troops into Afghanistan in order to break up the Taliban regime and to locate Al-Qaeda. Effects of the terrorist attacks are still evident today through the numerous governmental agencies made to combat future terrorist attacks on American soil. I am sure we are all too familiar with the TSA, that horrible agency that sets us back an hour whenever we travel. Well, as unbelievable as it may seem, that was not founded until November of 2001. Another one of these programs is Homeland Security, founded in November of 2002, which works to reduce the vulnerability of the United States to terrorism and minimize the damage and assist in recovery for terrorist attacks that occur within our borders.
Something to note about Homeland Security is that it falls under the control of the Executive Office of the President and the United States Federal Executive's departments. Just another example of the President taking more control than what is given to him in the Constitution.
Oh, looks like we have a caller. What's on your mind?
This seems pretty dystopian to me.
Does this wave of fear of the American people in any way relate to all the dystopian novels released in the 2000s?
Great insight. Book series such as The Hunger Games and the Divergent series did come out after 9/11, but those series had a common theme that a centralized government couldn't be trusted. I wonder why. However, after 9/11, the general public put more trust into a centralized government to protect them from further attacks, but still conspiracies filled the internet and the minds of adolescents about the real cause of the attacks.
Ah, okay, wait, you're talking about how Bush did.
Okay, moving on. The political ramifications of the September 11th attacks have proven to have long-term effects on the United States foreign policy. Because stopping terrorism became the country's first priority, similar to that of stopping communism, there have been new compromises made with countries that the United States otherwise would not have readily negotiated with. The budget deficit has increased due to the perceived need for more government surveillance on people with possible Islamic ties. With the efforts of war, the United States needed to advance its technology at home to further combat terrorism.
While all of this terrorism scare was going on, there was an insane boom in the technology industry. Although there was a technology bubble burst in the early 2000s, 2003 became the year of rebounding for the music industry. And not just because it was the year the Kidz Bop 3 album was released. This burst was caused by a multitude of factors, and I think we should call in an expert on all things Google to help us out.
Hi, my name is Kelly and I work for Google, specializing in the research of technology in the 2000s. As all of us know, the key innovator of this century was none other than Steve Jobs. Jobs is single-handedly responsible for creating technology as we know it. In January of 2001, iTunes was introduced for the first time. Another technological innovation occurred in that year, when the iPod MP3 player was debuted. A couple years later, in 2003, Apple released the infamous Safari web browser that put Internet Explorer to shame. And in that same year, the iTunes Music Store was finally released. The easy access to such large amounts of music created a new era of pop stars. With their music seen by millions across the world, these stars quickly rose to insane levels of popularity. The iMac and the MacBook Pro were rolled out in 2006 by Apple as its first Intel-based computers, the biggest and most transformative event of the decade, in my opinion, occurred on January 9th, 2007. This was the day that the iPhone was unveiled, and after that, the world was never the same. This launched the technology age that we live in today, and a society that is now dependent on phones and... Oh my gosh, my friend's FaceTiming me from China. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
Anyways, the revolutionized technology allowed for the creation of Google Maps, which came out in February of 2005, just in time to get photos of one of the worst natural disasters to hit the continental United States. On August 29th, 2005, Hurricane Katrina made landfall in Louisiana as a Category 3 storm. However, that Category 3 amounted to about $125 billion in damage, which isn't even adjusted for inflation.
Inflation. Ah, yes, everyone's favorite topic. In 2007, a massive recession hit the United States, in which federal spending climbed higher than any time since the Second World War. Termed the Great Recession, it resulted in a scarcity of valuable assets in the market economy, as well as the collapse of banks, some of which were eventually bailed out by the federal government. The Federal Reserve Board, under Ben Bernanke, lowered interest rates to historic lows for a temporary fix to keep the bubble from bursting and allow cheap money to flow through the industry. So basically, people thought they could buy houses with money they didn't have, which they were urged to buy by the home lending industry, handing out mortgages to unqualified people like free change. Then the housing bubble burst. Who would have guessed? The Fed and Treasury literally played survival of the fittest with Wall Street stalwarts because they saved firms such as JP Morgan Chase from bankruptcy, but let others like Lehman Brothers to fend for themselves.
On November 4th, 2008, history was made in the United States. With the highest voter turnout in 40 years, Barack Obama won the presidency with 365 electoral votes to his opponent John McCain's 173. Obama received extensive backlash from his opponent for being socialist and too inexperienced for the presidency. Many news outlets used their platform to advise voters against voting for Obama. Even the New York Times releasing an article titled "The Terrorist Barack Hussein Obama." There was also an ad aired that compared Obama to Britney Spears and Paris Hilton.
He's the biggest celebrity in the world. But is he ready to lead?
McCain's campaign strategy, if anything, complimented Obama with being a celebrity. Maybe why he didn't win the election.
Obama's campaign worked to combat his doubt with criticism of McCain, some of which included relating him to President George W. Bush. This was not a great comparison, as Bush, at the end of his presidency, received one of the lowest popularity rates of any modern president. Ads were aired of Bush and McCain embracing, and these ads stated that McCain had voted in favor of Bush 9 out of 10 times. Looks like we have another caller.
Wait, I thought you said at the beginning that Bush's approval rating was like a freaking like 90% or something.
After 9/11, the country united and looked toward the president as a hopeful leader. The rest of Bush's administration, well, was not as optimistic. During his second term, the country was amid the worst financial crisis, and there were United States troops deployed everywhere in the Middle East. To name a few, there's the Iraq War, the war in Pakistan, the Iran conflict, the conflict in Lebanon, the list goes on. For once, America needs to stay out of warfare. It's like we're almost trying to find an excuse to go to war with someone.
So, back to Obama. Obama's first action as acting president was 2 days after he was sworn in. On January 22nd, he signed an executive order that closed the Guantanamo Bay detention camp within a year and prohibited torture and terrorism interrogations. After a few weeks in office, Obama signed a second stimulus package, which was aimed to help cut taxes as well as spending on infrastructure, school, healthcare, and green energy. In April, the now famous sniper operation involving Captain Phillips occurred.
In conclusion, the 2000s proved to be a wild rollercoaster of events. There were many downs, such as the crisis of 2008, Hurricane Katrina, and 9/11. Those devastations brought the country closer together in solidarity. In spite of the somber mood, the country advanced industrially and technologically. Notable figures such as Steve Jobs led the country toward its reputation as a leader in the 21st century by revolutionizing the smartphone. The United States continues its long run as a global superpower, thanks to the 2000s.